from Independence, Ohio.
Changed our life for the better in many different ways.
Heard around the world every Monday through Friday.
Pastor Sanders is always years ahead of the rest of the media, telling you exactly what they're covering up.
This is What's Right, What's Left.
I tune in every chance I get to hear exactly what's going on with the voice of the Christian resistance.
Unabashedly cutting through the rhetoric by exposing the hard topics facing our society and world.
A lot of the other news media don't pick up the news items like he does.
And bringing to light the enemies of freedom who are out to steal your rights, your children, and enslaving you.
You really get the truth out. I can tune into your show and hear the unvarnished truth. Thank you.
This is What's Right, What's Left with Pastor Ernie Sanders.
Good evening and welcome to another edition of What's Right, What's Left on this 18th day of June. Boy, already halfway through. Pledge week starts Monday. Alrighty, and tonight, the title of my message is Fathers from the Beginning. Fathers from the Beginning on this Father's Day. And I want to wish all you fathers out there a very happy Father's Day. I hope you had as good one as I did. I had a great Father's Day today. Praise the Lord. And it's going to be very interesting, this message here this tonight, because probably a few things you didn't know as we go through talking about some of the fathers of the past. And we're starting tonight in Romans chapter 8, verses 12 through 17. Therefore, brethren, we are debtors, not to the flesh, to live after the flesh. For if we live after the flesh, we shall die. But if you through the Spirit do mortify the deeds of the body, you shall live. For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. For you have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear, but you have received the spirit of adoption, whereby we cry, Abba, Father. The Spirit itself beareth witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. And if the children, then heirs, and heirs of God, and joint heirs with Christ, if so be that we suffer with him, that we may also glorify together. Now here, God the Father is the Father of all humanity, but he is not the spiritual Father of all humanity. He's the spiritual Father of those that have called upon the name of the Lord Jesus Christ and were saved. And here we are the spiritual children of the Father that the Holy Spirit has bore witness to. The Holy Spirit bears witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. So here's a shocker to you. The next time that you're out on a star-studded night, when you look into the heavens and all of the stars and the planets, just remember that we are joint heirs with the Creator, and some of those planets out there, they're ours, folks. Now, I want you to think about this, because here, God owns all of it. It belongs to him. He made all of the stars, all of the planets. And the Bible says that the earth is his footstool. And that here, that the earth and the fullness thereof, the earth and everything on this planet belongs to God. So, and we are heirs, if children, then heirs, and heirs of God, and joint heirs with Christ. So, we are heirs with him. And so, that means, folks, that when we leave this world, someday, what belongs to Christ will belong to us too. The Creator. And so, now, just think about that, what God owns. He owns it all. And here, now the world out there, the world tells us that, the government and corporations, they own the world and they own everything that's in it. Well, folks, I tell you what, those same people that claim to own the world and everything in it, they want to depopulate the planet of Christians. Now, to us, to them, We Christians, how dare we stake claim to their planet? I've said in their meetings when they talked about us Christians as being nothing more than parasites in the back of Gaia, Mother Earth, and that this Earth should be kept pristine and clean for the elite. I've said in their meetings when they've talked about how they want to depopulate the planet down to 500 million people, what, half a billion, from almost 8 billion to a half a billion. But you know what? God says that we are heirs. And guess what? It belongs to him. It all belongs to him to give it to whom he wants, right? And so here, I can tell you, all of the stuff that the prosperity preachers have been wanting will pale in comparison to what we have when we leave this world and go into eternity. So here now, we start out with God the Father as heirs and children of our Father. And then we go over to Genesis chapter 4. And in Genesis chapter 4, we take a look at another father here. Verses 1 through 15. Now here, we look at the very first father. Adam was the very first human father. He was the very first human father. And now he had to bear a huge, huge burden, knowing that because he listened to Eve and not to God, he had made the mistake that many men have made during the past, and we see the Bible has a number of different accounts, examples. But because he listened to Eve and not to God, well, then sin entered into the world, and Cain became not as Eve had hoped. You see, over in Genesis chapter 3, when the Lord said that the seed of the woman, it said the seed of the serpent would bruise the seed of the woman, but the seed of the woman would crush the seed of the serpent. Now, Eve was probably thinking, well, when she conceived, in the birth of Cain, that maybe this was the one, maybe this was the Messiah who was going to crush the head of the serpent. Maybe this was the very first seed of the woman. But instead, it wasn't the seed of the woman at all. Cain was the very first seed of the serpent. And so here, and he became the very first in a very, very long line of the serpent's seed. And so, as we read here, and Adam knew Eve, his wife, and she conceived and bare Cain, and said, I have gotten a man from the Lord. And she again bare his brother Abel, and Abel was the keeper of the sheep, but Cain was the tiller of the ground. Now, the name Cain means accusation, to acquire things, but here, the name Abel means a vapor or vanity. Now, why would that be? Well, vapor and vanity is not around a long time, and Abel certainly was not around a long time. But Abel also was a righteous man, and not very many people know it, but Abel was a prophet. And she again bare his brother Abel, and Abel was a keeper of the sheep, but Cain was a tiller of the ground. In the process of time, it came to pass that Cain bought of the fruit of the ground, offering unto the Lord. And Abel, he also brought of the firstlings of the flock, and of the fat thereof. And the Lord had respect unto Abel, to his offering. But unto Cain, and to his offering, he had no respect. And Cain was very wroth, and his countenance fell. And you say, well, why? Why was it? Wasn't an offering of the fruit of the ground acceptable? Yeah, it was, but it was in the spirit that it was given. Now here, Abel offered up a sacrifice. It cost him to sacrifice that little lamb. But here, with Cain, Cain wasn't thinking how blessed he was, that God had blessed him to the point where he was such a good farmer, such a good tiller of the ground. Look at this wonderful crops that he had made. And it was all about Cain, what Cain had done. And when it says, and in the process of time, that means there was an appointed time, that they were to meet and offer up their offerings to the Lord. It came to pass that Cain brought of the fruit of the ground an offering unto the Lord. And Abel, he also brought of the firstlings of his flock and of the fat thereof, right? And the Lord had respect unto Abel, to his offering, but unto Cain and to his offering he had no respect. And Cain was very, very wroth, very angry, and his countenance fell. And the Lord said unto Cain, why art thou wroth, and why is thy countenance fallen? If thou dost well, shalt not thou be accepted? And if thou dost not well, sin lieth at the door, and unto thee shall be his desire, and thou shalt rule over him. So God is telling Cain that if he rejects him, if he denies him, then sin lieth at his door, and unto thee shall be his desire. In other words, his desire will not be towards the Lord, but towards pleasure of the flesh, fleshly pleasures. And Cain talked with Abel his brother. And it came to pass when they were in the field that Cain rose up against Abel his brother and slew him. Well, you see, Abel had been talking to Cain. And again, the Bible, if we jump over to, really quickly, I'm just going to jump over to Luke chapter 11 and read you verse 50. Now the blood of all the prophets, which was shed from the foundation of the world, may be required of this generation, from the blood of Abel unto the blood of Zacharias, which perished between the altar and the temple. Verily I say unto you, you shall be required of this generation. Well, here, Abel was a righteous prophet. The Lord spoke separately, too, about him being a righteous man, a righteous prophet. And so here we go on. And the Lord said unto Cain, where is thy brother? And he says, I know not. Am I my brother's keeper? And he said, what hast thou done? Now, it's not a good idea, folks. Never, ever a good idea to lie to God. It never ends well. And the voice of thy brother's blood crieth unto me from the ground. And now art thou cursed from the earth, which has opened her mouth to receive thy brother's blood from thy hand. When thou tillest the ground, it shall not henceforth yield unto thee her strength. A fugitive and a vagabond shalt thou be on the earth. Now here you go. The only thing Cain knew very well was gardening, he farming. And he considered himself to be a top-notch farmer. And now God is telling him, not anymore, Cain, not anymore. From now on, you're going to be a vagabond. That means you're going to wander around about. And Cain said unto the Lord, my punishment is greater than I can bear. Behold, thou hast driven me out from the day, from the face of the earth, and from thy face shall I be hid, and I shall be a fugitive and a vagabond in the earth. And it shall come to pass that everyone that findeth me shall slay me. And the Lord said unto him, Therefore, whosoever slayeth Cain, vengeance shall be taken on him sevenfold. And the Lord set a mark upon Cain, lest any finding him should kill him. Now, and Cain went from the presence of the Lord and dwelt in the land of Nod, in the east of Eden. And Cain knew his wife, and she conceived, and bare Enoch. Now think about this. Adam had to bear the burden of the very first father who had the very first son that was murdered. He had to bear the burden of the father that had the very first son as a murderer. And so now, through Adam here, Eve, you had both the seed of the serpent and the seed of the woman, both here. Now the seed of the serpent murdered the seed of the woman. But now, God, now think about this. The next thing is Cain is taking one of his sisters. One of his sisters, or possibly if he had waited long enough, and remember, they lived a long time in those days, possibly a niece, because he still had his brother Seth. And they were having a whole lot of children in those days. They were very, very fertile. They were having a lot of children, were being born at a very fast rate. Now, if we go over and we read verse 19, we read, Lamech took unto him two wives. Now, he was the very first that committed bigamy. He took two wives. Now, God created one woman, one man, but he was the very first father to take two wives. One was Adda, and the other Zillah. And Adda bare Jabel. Now, here he was the father of Jabel, and Jabel was the father of the very first tent dwellers. The very first tent dwellers. Now then, God again had allowed Eve to have a third son, Seth, and he had a godly lineage where Cain had a very wicked lineage. And so here now, we want to take a look over in Genesis chapter 9, and we look at the father of the repopulation. Genesis 9 and the father of the repopulation. And here in Genesis 9, we see God's covenant with Noah. And verses 1 through 7, we go through the Noahic covenant. And here, as we read, And God blessed Noah and his sons and said unto them, Be fruitful and multiply and replenish the earth. Well, that word replenish actually in the Hebrew is male. Is male simply means to fill to the top, to fill to the top. Now, there are people out there, folks, that actually have built a complete doctrine on this one verse, and they have so misrepresented this one verse. And that complete doctrine that they actually built upon this one verse, and they tell you that it says to replenish that the earth had already been populated. It had been populated before this, and God had destroyed them, and now he was making it over. Now, there's no evidence of any such thing. And they referred to these people, believe it or not, as the mud people. And they tell you that there was a time when God had created the earth, and the earth was kind of floating around out there. And then you had the water and the air and all of these elements, but they weren't together. They were kind of like in layers. And on these layers that were kind of floating around lived these mud people. Well, folks, that's like something out of the Twilight Zone, okay? It makes for good science fiction, but there's absolutely nothing to it. There's no truth about it at all. It's pure fiction. But anyhow, so here now, and we read in the first seven verses here of the Noahic covenant, we see that God makes five very clear points. He makes five very clear points in the Noahic covenant. And the very first point is to whom it was given. And we find out this covenant that he made. We will go in verse 9, and I behold, I establish my new covenant with you and with your seed after you and with every living creature that is with you, of the fowl, of the cattle, and of every beast of the earth with your with you, from all that go out of the ark to every beast of the earth. And I will establish my covenant with you, neither shall all flesh be cut off any more by the waters of a flood, neither shall there be any more food to destroy the earth, or flood to destroy the earth. And God said, this is the token of the covenant which I make between me and you and every living creature that is with you for perpetual generations. I will set my bow in the cloud, and it shall be for a token of a covenant between me and the earth. Now here, these five points that he made tell you that, one, to whom it was given, I just read that, to all mankind for perpetual generations, to all living creatures. Now, this is one of the only covenant that spans the entire seven dispensations periods. This spans the entire seven dispensation periods. It's in effect today. Okay, now the second point was the intent. The intent of divine, and we're talking about divine human government. The intent and the purpose, exactly the opposite of the government that we have in America today. Exactly the opposite. Now here, the intent was that man was to govern for God. Man was to govern for God. And the fear of you and the dread of you shall be upon every beast of the earth and upon every fowl of the air, upon all that moveth upon the earth and upon all the fishes of the sea, into your hand are they delivered. Every moving thing that liveth shall be meat for you, even as the green herb have I given you all things. But flesh with the life thereof, which is the blood, therefore shall you not eat. And surely your blood of your lives will I require at the hand of every beast, will I require it at the hand of man, at the hand of every man's brother, will I require the life of man. Whoso sheddeth man's blood, by man shall his blood be shed, for in the image of God made he man. And you be fruitful and multiply and bring forth abundantly in the earth and multiply therein. So here we read verses 1 through 4. We see the intent was man was to govern for God. Man was to govern for God. But then when we get to the third point, now this is the most important point. The entire purpose of divine human government is in these verses 5 through 7. And surely your blood of your lives will I require at the hand of every beast, will I require it at the hand of man, at the hand of every man's brother will I require the life of man. Whoso sheddeth man's blood, by man shall his blood be shed. For in the image of God made he man. So what is he telling you? The entire purpose of divine human government is to preserve the image of God, that being man. That's right, the entire purpose. Now, look at what we have as a government. They are promoting killing, abortion, euthanasia. They're in total opposition to what God's Word, the Bible, teaches. And so here, again, he tells you for the third time now, and you be fruitful and multiply and bring forth abundantly in the earth and multiply therein. Now let me ask you something here. What if God had not given man dominion over the animals? Think about this for a minute. The animals now had become carnivorous. They were no longer plant eaters. You had lions and tigers and bears. Oh, my. And add to that some dinosaurs in there. And add to that all the poisonous snakes. oh, there was enough animals out there to really do humankind some damage. Think about all those dinosaurs that roamed the earth, right? So here, if God had not given man dominion, but left it, mankind, our species would have been wiped out. We were way overmatched by the enemy, by the animals. We didn't have, remember in those days, they didn't have the tools that we had today. They didn't have a tool to fight off armies of bears and lions and tigers and things like that. But God had given that dominion to man. And so here, we see that the Edenic and the mandate and the Noahic covenant concerning the eating of blood also is still in effect today. It's still in effect today. So now, I wanted to go over to Genesis chapter 12. And in Genesis chapter 12, and I had gotten me something to drink here to wet my whistle, but I don't see it. I'm going to take a peek just a minute here. I think I found it. I have a bottle of cold lemonade right here. Oh, I hope I don't need a bottle opener to open this lemonade. Usually those things were twist-off caps. And I'm going to give it a good hard twist here and see if I can twist this cap off, because this is the third time today. Yes, I got it. Third time today I'm preaching this message, and the old vocal cords get a little sore. And that was so nice and cold. And so, here, as we go over to Genesis chapter 12, we look at Abraham, who was the father of many nations. Abraham was the father of many nations. And so we look in, now the Lord had said unto Abraham, get thee out of thy country, and from thy kindred, and from thy father's house, into a land that I will show thee. And I will make of thee a great nation, and I will bless thee, and make thy name great, and thou shalt be a blessing. And I will bless them that bless thee, and curse them that curse thee. And in thee shall be all families of the earth be blessed. Now, let me just tell you here. There are people out there, some people out there, and I run into them all the time. And to them, Israel can do nothing good. Israel is just the worst nation in the world. And then there's other people that think that Israel can do nothing wrong. It's just the best nation. But the reality is this. Israel is a stiff-necked people. Israel, to this very day, they are a stiff-necked people. Now, but it's not up to us, okay, to bring judgment upon them. That's up to God. They're his people. Now, and what do I say that for? Well, the reality is, when it comes to sin, is sinful as America is. And believe me, America and her depravity, America has been reduced thanks to what we call liberalism, communism. The Democrats have reduced America morally. The standards have gotten so low. The sin is so great in America today. They've invented, like I often said, if they can invent a new sin, the apostate church in America would have it in their statement, their mission statements tomorrow, folks. I mean, that's how how bad it has gotten. But as bad as America is, Israel is actually worse. Per population, Israel has more abortions than America. Per population, Israel had the largest in Tel Aviv, the largest sodomite parade in the world. One of the most egregious, I mean, just egregious, folks. Israel, when it comes to pornography, is at, for per population, are actually worse than America. Okay? And then when it comes to prostitution, the same thing. But remember, Israel's always been a stiff-necked people. This is why the purpose of the tribulation period, the purpose of the tribulation period is to purify the wife of God, which is known as Israel. Because of her great sin, she has not repented. To this very day, she has not repented. And so, here, I want to turn to over to Genesis chapter 17. And in Genesis chapter 17, we see Abraham. Now, Abraham, he makes the same mistake that Adam makes. Abraham makes the very same mistake that Adam made. Instead of listening to God, God had told Abraham that you were going to be a great nation, and I was going to raise up, I was going to raise up a great nation from Sarah. Sarah was going to have, here, let me read. If we go back to verse 13. No, that's the wrong passage. He had promised Abraham that he was going to raise up children from his seed. Now here, what happened? Let me go to chapter 16. Now Sarah, Abraham's wife, bare him no children, and she had a handmaid, an Egyptian whose name was Hagar. And Sarah said unto Abraham, Abram, behold, now the Lord hath restrained me from bearing. I pray thee, go unto my maid. It may be that I may obtain children by her. And Abraham hearkened to the voice of Sarah. And Sarah, Abraham's wife, took Hagar, her maid, the Egyptian, after Abraham had dwelt 10 years in the land of Canaan, and gave her to her husband, Abraham, to be his wife. And he went into Hagar, and she conceived, and when she saw that she had conceived, her mistress was despised in her eyes. Now here, what happens? Now Sarah's complaining to Abraham. She says, and Sarah said unto Abraham, my wrong is be upon thee. I had given my maid unto thee, to thy bosom, and when she saw that she had conceived, I was despised in her eyes, and the Lord judged between me and thee. Now, so Sarah is saying, here, you've got two women, one much older than the other. Two, they were both known historically to be both very beautiful women. And what happens now? Hagar is thinking to herself, look, I'm the one that bare him a son, not Sarah. Therefore, the firstborn male gets the inheritance, gets the blessing. So that makes me the number one wife. I should be telling Sarah what to do instead of her telling me what to do. And so that didn't go very well with Sarah. And so now Sarah, she's blaming Abraham. And Sarah said unto Abraham, my wrong be upon thee, okay? And so here, she's saying, you see, now, what I did is come back upon you. I guess she's not blaming him. She's basically telling him that what she did was affecting him. So here now, what did he do? Like Adam, the Lord had told him, and yet he wouldn't and listened to his wife. Now, Sarah, well, I'm going to tell you, she got away with some things. It was an amazing thing that she got away with, because here, if you read in the next chapter, the Lord comes in the plains of Mamre, and he's Abraham comes out to meet him. They killed a calf for him and everything. The Lord and two angels. And here, what has taken place? Well, let me just read it to you. And the Lord appeared unto him in the plains of Mamre, and he sat at the door in the heat of the day, lifted up his eyes and looked, and lo, three men stood by him. And when he saw him, he ran to meet them from the door and bowed himself toward the ground and said, My Lord, if now I have found favor in thy sight, pass not away, I pray thee, from thy servant. You let a little water, I pray you, be fetched, and wash your feet, and rest yourselves under the tree. And I will fetch a morsel of bread, and comfort your hearts, and that you shall be passed on, for therefore are you come to your servant. And they said, So do as thou hast said. And Abraham hastened into the tent, and Sarah, and said, Make ready quickly 3 measures of fine meal, knead it, and make cakes upon the hearth. And Abraham ran into the herd and fetched a fat calf and good, and gave it unto the young man. He hastened to dress it. And he took butter and milk and the calf which he had dressed and set it before them. And he stood up by under the tree, and they did eat. And they said unto him, Where is Sarah the wife? And he said, Behold, in the tent. And he said, I will certainly return unto thee according to the time of life. So Sarah thy wife shall have a son. And Sarah heard it in the tent door, which was behind him. And Abraham and Sarah were old and well struck in an age, and ceased to be with Sarah after the manner of women. Therefore Sarah laughed within herself, saying, After I am waxed old, shall I have pleasure with my Lord being old also? And the Lord said to Abraham, Wherefore did Sarah laugh, saying, Shall I of surely bear a child which am old? Is it too hard a thing for the Lord? At the time appointed, I will return unto thee according to the time of life, and Sarah shall have a son. And now listen to this. This is what Sarah gets away with, this, right? Boy, Cain didn't get away with it. Then Sarah denied, saying, I laughed not, for she was afraid. And the Lord said, Hey, nay, but thou didst laugh. So here you can see that Abraham, okay, had made the same mistake. He was the first father of many nations, and he had made the very first same mistake that his wife did. In fact, if you go to 17, verse 5, Neither shall thy name be any more called Abram, but shall be called Abraham, for the father of many nations have I made thee. So he was the first father of many nations. Now, we're going to go to the first father, the very first father of murder and lies. The very first father of murder and lies. And, of course, you know who that one is. And we go to John chapter 8, starting with verse 39. And in John chapter 8, verse 39, they answered and said unto him, Abraham is our father. Jesus saying to them, If you were Abraham's children, you would do the works of Abraham. But now you seek to kill me. I have made that a man that hath told you the truth, which I have heard of God, and did not, and this did not Abraham. You do the deeds of your father. Then said they unto him, We be not born of fornication. We have one father, even God. And Jesus said unto them, If God were your father, you would love me, for I proceeded forth and came from God. Neither came I of myself, but he sent me. Why do you not understand? Why understand my speech, even because you cannot bear or hear my words. You of your father, you are of your father, the devil. You see, this is the seed of the serpent. These men are the seed of the serpent. You of your father, the devil, and the lust of your father you will do. He was a murderer from the beginning and abode not in truth, because there is no truth in him. When he speaketh a lie, he speaketh of his own, for he is a liar and the father of it. So we see Satan is the father of murder and the father of lies. And because I tell you the truth, you believe me not. Which of you convinces me of sin? And if I say the truth, why do you not believe me? He that is of God heareth God's words. You therefore hear them not, because you are not of God. Then answered the Jews and said unto him, Say we not well that thou art a Samaritan and hast a devil? And Jesus answered, I am not a devil, but I honor my Father, and you do dishonor over me. And I seek not my own glory. There is one that seeketh and judges. Verily, verily, I say unto you, if a man keep my saying, he shall never see death. Then said the Jews unto him, Now we know that thou hast a devil. Abraham is dead, and the prophets. And thou sayest, if a man keep my saying, he shall never taste of death. And art thou greater than Father Abraham, which is dead, and the prophets, which are dead? Who makest thou thyself? And Jesus answered, If I honor myself, my honor is nothing. It is my Father that honoreth me, of whom you say that he is your God. Yet you know not him, but I know him. And if I should say I know him not, I shall be a liar, like unto you. But I knew him, and keep his sayings. Your father Abraham rejoiced to see my day, and he saw it and was glad. Now, what he's talking about there was in Genesis 15:1. On that occasion, the Lord has said, I am thy shield and thy exceeding great reward. And this was the very first of the great I am statements of the Bible. Now, this was the vision of the word of the Lord was Christ. And, of course, in a pre-incarnate theophany, or Christophany, if you will. So the Lord came to Abraham, and Abraham was glad to see his day. Then said the Jews unto him, Thou art not even 50 years old, and thou hast seen Abraham? Jesus said unto them, Verily, verily, I say unto you, before Abraham was, I am. Then took they up stones to cast at him, but Jesus hid himself and went out of the temple, going through the midst of them, and he passed by. So this was something that the Lord had done on a number of occasions. Now, today we are surrounded on every side by the seed of the serpent. Friday night, as we were on the air, the Los Angeles Dodgers were putting on pure blasphemy. They had these Democrats there that were dressed as drag queen nuns, and they had a sodomite on a cross, and they were blaspheming God. They were blaspheming God. And the Los Angeles Dodgers pretty much were saying, look, you people out there with your religion, yeah, okay, so maybe tonight you're upset, but that'll soon pass. You like your entertainment more than your religion. And so it's in your face to you people. Now, I can tell you something. After this, I would not want to even ever associate anybody that would attend another Dodgers game. I would not even want to even associate with them, because after what they did, what fellowship could light have with darkness? What fellowship could Christ have with Belial? And I would be so ashamed of anybody that would go back that would attend a Dodgers game. And this really got to the point where it upset a number of the players. A number of the players said, you know what? We've had it with this. And so here, today we are just absolutely surrounded out there by, well, the seed of the serpent. You've got the abortion people. You've got the euthanasia. And which is murder, which is nothing but murder. The mainstream media, they are in cahoots. They are, if you will, a confederacy. They are in a confederacy with every and all kinds of sin out there. They have lost their credibility. You can't believe the mainstream media. There is not one single legitimate journalist at NBC, ABC, CBS, CNN, whatever, NPR, there are none. These people literally are media whores. They have. If there was a journalist, if a journalist should show up and actually report the truth, the news, they would immediately get fired. And we've seen that in the past where so many were fired or quit. They said, look, we can't keep this. We've got some integrity. We can't totally, you know, become, you know, media whores. So they left. They said, we can't take it anymore. Somewhere along the line, we got to tell the truth. You've got today, Joe Biden and the entire Democratic Communist Party, they're pushing LGBTQ, that's lewd, gross, belligerent, transgressing queers. It's what God's word, the Bible. It's what God destroyed Sodom and Gomorrah. You've got whores out there, both physical and spiritual. You've got pedophilia. The Democrats are trying to legalize. They're pushing hard as they can to legalize pedophilia so they can bring their child molesting out into the open. You've got this transgender, which is absolutely nothing but sinful lunacy. You've got Satanists, child sacrifice. You've got what they call trans surgeries now, which simply mutilating children. You've got what they call hot wives and cuckolds. That was a new one that I just learned in the past year. This cuckold, I don't know how long that's been around, but all of that, that's all a part of the Democratic Party platform, folks. If it's a sin, it's a part of their platform out there today. Now, here, like the early church fathers and the nation's founding fathers, we, the faithful fathers of today, we are willing, and I spoke. You have to excuse. I'm sorry about this coughing thing I've had, but it's the allergies I have. You wouldn't believe how much of this stuff is around here. I'm surrounded. I mean, literally surrounded by trees, and this stuff is covered. It gets on your clothes, and no matter where you go, and I'm thinking in a week or two, it should be totally gone. But anyhow, we, the faithful fathers of today, we are willing to sacrifice all for the safety and well-being of our wives and our children and their children. We, too, are willing to fight to the very death for our church family. We very well may soon be called upon to do this very thing. Now, it's because of the days that we're living in, the time we're living in, and this growing anti-Christian, this own anti-Christian sentiment. Now, here, I'm not going to have time to finish tonight's message, but we had a very, very good example, a perfect example, and that is John chapter 3, starting with verse 14. And as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up, that whoso believeth in him should not perish but have eternal life. Well, and with Moses and the brazen serpent, their faith was tested. Their faith was tested. If they believed and had faith and listened to God and kept their eyes upon that brazen serpent, the fiery serpents down below, those that had bitten them, they would not die. And if they hadn't been bitten, they wouldn't. If they would keep their eyes upon that, the fiery serpents would have no effect on them. But those that had doubt and they looked down at the fiery serpents died. And here he's comparing that. Whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have eternal life. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. For God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. He that believeth on him is not condemned, but he that believeth not is condemned already, because he hath not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. And this is the condemnation, that light is come into the world, and men love darkness rather than light, because their deeds were evil. Well, folks out there listening, there you go. He's telling you, very simple. You're going to die, and when you die, this is reality. You're free to believe whatever you want. But when you die, you're either going to go to heaven or hell. God has declared it. That's the reality. There is no chance at all, none, that won't happen. And, folks, you don't have to go to hell. The Lord Jesus did all the heavy lifting. He died a substitutionary death upon that cross. He took your place for any and all that are smart enough to realize that. And if you're smart enough to realize that, then here's what you do. You do exactly what Jesus said to do. Pray to the Father. Ask for forgiveness of your sin. You see, only sinners need Savior. Ask for forgiveness of your sin. And if you'll do that, if you mean it, then God will honor that. Your sins will be forgiven. Then you call upon the name of the Lord Jesus to be the Lord of your life, all of your life, without any reservations. He says he's got to be first. He's got to become before your mother and your father. He's got to come first. If you'll do that, then you will become a new creature, an heir of the kingdom. That's right, an heir of the kingdom, folks. And you will be indwelt with the Holy Spirit. Now listen, you have God's word on this. You have God's word. Now how sure is God's word? Well, he used that to speak the entire universe into existence. Okay? There is nothing in existence today that is as sure as the word of God. And so, folks, if I were you, don't run out of tomorrow's tonight. That will happen all over this world. A whole lot of people could have and should have, but they've lost the opportunity. Well, we're out of time again for tonight. So as we get at this point, as we do every night at this time, we want to say good night and God bless. And always, 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 and I do mean always, keep fighting the fight.
Thanks for listening to the Voice of the Christian Resistance. What's Right, What's Left, hosted by Pastor Ernie Sanders. To learn more about our ministry, please visit us online at www.wrwl.org. Please tune in next time for another edition of What's Right, What's Left.
The preceding program is sponsored by What's Right, What's Left Ministries and is responsible for its content.
When I grow up, I want to work for a woke company. Like super woke.
When I grow up, I want to be hired based on what I look like.
Rather than my skills.
I want to be judged.
By my political beliefs.
I want to get promoted.
Based on my chromosomes.
When I grow up,
I want to be offended.
By my coworkers.
And walk around the office.
On eggshells.
And have my words policed.
By HR.
Words like.
Grandfather.
Peanut gallery.
Long time no see.
No can do.
When I grow up,
I want to be obsessed with emotional safety
and do workplace sensitivity training
all day long.
When I grow up, I want to climb the corporate ladder.
Just by following the crowd.
I want to be a conformist.
I want to weaponize my pronouns. What are pronouns?
It's time to grow up and get back to work. Introducing the number one woke-free job board in America, RedBalloon.work.